and coming to you live from the Strixon Studios right here along the Redneck Riviera in Lower Alabama. This is Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show, and I am your host, Randy Bergen. Glad to have you on board with us this morning. Of course, our show is presented by our very good friends at McConnell Automotive, the number one GMC dealer in the state of Alabama. You can visit them in Mobile. They're located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street, or maybe you want to check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Boy, we have got a ton of stuff to get into today, but let me welcome in the guys that need to be on radio because they do not have a face for TV. Let's start with Doug. War Eagle TV's Doug Holton. Doug, how you doing, my man?
Well, I'm doing great, Randy. Thanks for that introduction.
You're quite welcome. Yeah. You're quite welcome.
Looking forward to today. A lot of college basketball, a lot of golf, a lot of interesting moves in college football, too, as far as the coaching staffs and the people they have to put in place for recruiting and all that.
It is, I'll tell you what, it is very interesting right now in college football, and we're going to get into that for sure. But let me also welcome our very good friend. He is one of the proprietors of Bujo's Cajun Grill, the one, the only, you know him as a voice, Mr. Matt Brand. Matt, how you doing, brother?
Great, guys. Good morning. Glad to be here. It's been a couple of weeks, so I've missed out the last 2 weeks with other events going on. So really glad to be here today. Talk about some sports, some golf. Love basketball this time of year. It's really starting to amp up for the March Madness. And,
yep,
man, SEC is looking pretty hot with a whole bunch of teams in the top 25.
You know, that is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to get into some SEC basketball standings. We'll get into today's schedule. Pretty good lineup today for sure. You mentioned golf. Some really neat things going on in the golfing world. Neat, maybe that's not the correct word, but we're going to get you caught up on the professional leaderboards. And Rory McIlroy, word on the street is he is hitting the LIV Tour for about $950 million. And we always ask that question, what is your price? What is your price?
It would be way less than $950 million.
Right, but I tell you what, $950 would be fine with me.
You got, I just think that Rory was put in a situation with the PGA that he was a proud sponsor, the proud owner of the PGA.
He was the voice,
and he just was left out and hung out the dry.
Yeah.
So now, you know, you kind of don't feel quite as bad if he decides to make this for $950 million. I mean,
well,
okay,
same deal as to me, almost the same deal, not exactly, but same thing as Mickelson. They could have worked this out. They could have negotiated it, and now look where they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Well, we're going to hear from Rory in just a few moments in our next segment, so you won't want to miss that. And also, how about Charlie Woods, son of Tiger? He's trying to qualify for his first event, tour event, if you will. And he kind of played like we did on one hole. Took a 12.
Well, the thing is, I respect him for taking that 12 because if I would have gotten to 8 or 9, I would have picked up my ball and left. Or at least rode down a different score. I know it's professional. To have a 12 on a hole and still continue to finish and play a few good holes after that, that's rough. I mean, he shot an 86, 14 over.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be 8 over on one hole, you know, that's a tough run. But yeah, this is his first time trying out for a PGA Tour event. And
you got to get in there. I mean, you know, you don't expect him to be perfect on his first effort to qualify. But and look, I can promise you, Tiger is going to be in his ear. Okay.
Oh, you know,
how'd you feel on that? What'd you do? Tell me. He's going to go through the whole gauntlet. So yeah, it'll,
you know,
be.
I bet Tiger just says, relax, enjoy it. How old is Charlie now?
15, I think. 15,
high school.
Yeah, 15.
I mean, come on. How much pressure is on that guy to make the PGA Tour? It's unbelievable. What if he doesn't make the tour? It's okay. Everything's
you
okay.
You can kind of go back and look at some of the greats. Look at Jack Nicklaus and his sons, that Gary, who tried so hard. And I think sometimes they're trying so hard to follow in the footsteps of their father that you put so much pressure on yourself. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you look at Tiger's father and how he was brought up in the game of golf with all the intensity his father brought. There probably wasn't as much that Tiger's doing it differently, I'm sure, than what his dad did.
He's
probably not putting the same amount of pressure on his son to do all the practice hours, all the tournaments. So it's interesting, the dynamic of that that upbringing and that training as a young Tiger Woods versus his son. But, you know, you'll see. I mean, we'll find out how he plays next tournament, how his mindset is, and can he recover from this? Because this is a big, you don't want to say embarrassing, but I mean, for him, he's probably a little embarrassed by his performance based on his ability and his skill in previous tournaments.
And the expectation, yeah. I
That's
think,
right.
laid
yeah.
on him. So
yeah.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Let him
he'll be all right.
Let him go. Let him play college golf. Let him do. Let him have fun.
There you go.
He's a kid.
Can't wait to watch him in college golf. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, if he plays college golf. But.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Well,
I'm sure he will.
He might go to the LIV Tour, Randy.
I mean, he might. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Hey, and then coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got a fellow on. If you've not heard Roger Schultz before, you're gonna find it interesting. Okay, I call him Mr. Fu Manchu. Of course, he was a former All SEC center for the University of Alabama, number 66. Doug, you've been knowing him for a long time. I've been knowing him for a long time. And
how could you not hear from Roger Schultz?
Roger is everywhere. All right, and we're going to talk to him about Eli Gold. Of course, we all know if you're an Alabama fan that Eli Gold was not recontracted. Was he released?
I think he was.
Kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? So we'll get his thoughts on that. We'll talk a little Alabama football with him and SEC football. So they'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour. Should be a lot of fun, I can promise you. Roger will keep you entertained.
Yeah. I had a chance to intern with Eli Gold when I was in college.
Did you?
When he was in Birmingham and kind of the breaking the ice up there with sports talk and doing the Barons games, I think, and the hockey team in Birmingham, and spent a summer up there at WERC radio news talk station. So that was fun to get to know Eli, write a few stories for him and kind of help him out for the summer.
Well, okay, you did that. Why do you not say Roll Tide Roll and you say War Eagle?
Well, it's radio. It's a business. I was in school at Auburn at the time.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Know.
Very good. Very good.
But you know the story, Randy.
I do know the story.
Yep.
I do know the story.
Eli and a good friend of mine, Scott Griffin, was there at WERC at the time. So it's kind of got my start in TV there.
Well, and you did have a face for TV.
I did then.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, Matt, we only got about a minute and a half left here. We're going to get in the last segment, of course, what's for
Absolutely.
Lunch. And we'll talk about that. But tell us what's going on over at Boudreaux's right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, right now, you can't get much better weather than this right now. And we're really filling up the deck outside. We have a great view of Mobile Bay. We've got some wonderful servers. We're coming up on 10 years here on the Gulf Coast.
That's amazing.
Established now in 2014, so 10 years in April officially. Really excited to celebrate that. And, we've got a number of awards that we've gotten over the years. Best Outdoor Dining most recently, Best Eastern Shore Restaurant. We've been on TripAdvisor's top list for – I don't know, 6-7 years in a row now. So we've got a lot of things that we've worked hard for, but one of the most things I'm proud of is the tenure of the staff that we have with us. We have one of our prep cooks in the kitchen. She's been with us for almost 10 years. She started with us when we opened up. We've got a server that this coming Saturday, not today, but next Saturday, has been with us for 9 years now. Another bartender, 9.5 years.
How long's Tyler been with you?
Tyler's been with us 7.5 years.
Is that right?
Yep. And I've got a lot of servers now that started out with us as hostesses at when they were 16, their first jobs. And, just real proud to have the people that are there that are making the difference. And every time I go out and talk to people, see people that have been to the restaurant and recognize me, and what I like most, I love hearing how good the food was and all those things. But more than often, they come out and say, man, the service was great. We love seeing the same servers there, the same bartenders. And that stands true to what I like to see when I go out. And I think it speaks volumes to the people we have and
the,
a lot of fun.
The food seems to taste a little bit better when the service is equally as good.
I would agree. And look, the atmosphere is what it's all about. It's the atmosphere, it's the food, it's the service. You get all those things together, and you can really go out and relax. And you have that view of Mobile Bay. All of those things together, you can de-stress your life for an hour or two at Boudreaux's.
I was going to say, is this February? What a great time to sit on the deck today.
I know. Man, it's amazing how warm it is right now.
Well, we need to get back out and start doing remotes out there, and we'll have Coach Laster and Coach Cleveland. They will not have a problem getting up and going and sitting on the back of that deck.
Absolutely.
Which is fabulous, no doubt. So, be sure and check out Boudreaux's Cajun Grill for dinner.
Yes, right now, Wednesday through Saturday, 3 to 9, Sunday, 10 to 3. We're working hard at we got a couple more cooks hired in the kitchen, hoping very soon to be able to open on Tuesday nights as well. But we'll keep you posted on that.
Ought to be really, really fun, no doubt about it. Hey, want to say congratulations to Reeves Bozeman, who won our first full field event on the Southern Fairways Golf Tour. We played it last Sunday at Peninsula Golf Club. Beautiful day. Well, it wasn't really a beautiful day. It was a little chilly, a little windy. But he did. He played extremely well, picks up his first victory. He will now be qualified to play on the Tournament of Champions.
Yep.
And good luck to him. I mean, that was really fun.
Yeah, the SFGT, what we call it now. I love it, SFGT. It sounds like a
race car.
Yeah, right. Really good time. We had 108.
Yeah, we capped
108. Out 108.
Yeah. We had a waiting list.
Great time, man.
No doubt. Well, the next one's going to be March the 10th at Kraft Farms in Gulf Shores. All right, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to hear from Rory McIlroy. We'll talk a little golf, and maybe we'll throw a little football in there as well. So don't go anywhere. More Southern Fairway Sports Radio right after this.
Hey, well, I'm the friendly stranger in the back seat. Take one to hop inside my car. I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man. I can take you to the nearest stop. I go here, baby.
Sing it. Sing it. Welcome back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Randy Bergen, Doug Holton, and the voice, Matt Brandt, all right here hanging out and glad that you are with us. Of course, we've got some great sponsors of the show. McConnell Automotive, Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. Boy, I'll tell you, the list goes on and on. Hey, right there. How you like that? That was our buddy Coach Barry Gibson in vehicle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was enjoying that one.
He was having fun
yes,
with
he
that.
Was.
That was a whole band in there with him, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. He had the horns and everything, man.
I saw Barry yesterday, as a matter of fact. He's doing well. Ran by Boudreaux. Say hello. So hello, Barry. Hope you're listening out there, enjoying that enjoying whatever beverage you might be enjoying right now.
Wow.
Kool-Aid.
Wow. All right. Hey, one of the things we were talking about earlier is right now there's chatter, if you will, that Rory McIlroy may leave the PGA Tour and join the LIV Tour. All right. Do you remember this this statement right here?
If LIV Golf was the last place to play golf on Earth, I would retire. That's how I feel about it. So.
Do you remember that?
I do. How times change.
Absolutely.
How $950 million could possibly change your life and change your mind. Well, it looks like, now this is according to, and I know, Matt, you're up to date on this, but this is kind of according to Andrew Chubby Chandler, which is his, I believe his former agent.
That's right.
Is stating that he has been offered $950 million and he might be considering it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. At least that's his thoughts. Again, this is his former agent. So we haven't heard yet from Rory on this actual offer. But if $950 million is out there, and I think there's a comment in there from Chubby about, you know, there's a 10% chance he could, you know, really look into doing this.
But then again, his former agent could be writing a book or something. You know?
Well, yeah. He could be selling something.
You're such an optimist.
He could be getting some kind of a kickback off this.
That has happened before, you know.
Sure. It could be a kickback.
That's right. Yeah, you never know.
So I guess the question would be, and we're going to hear from Rory, because he's got a little different mentality now that it was all PGA Tour. He's thinking possibly like global tour. Let's play that for you real quick, and we'll get your thoughts after this.
The way I view it is a bit like Champions League in football. It's like the best of the best in Europe, and then all the other leagues feed up into it. So all these, you know, all these players, and there's lots of different tours and competing interests and a lot of great players, but, you know, if you want to create something that is a real value for the game of golf, I think it's this top global tour, and then all the other tours feed into it. That's my, and there's promotion and relegation, and you have to earn your way in, and you have to earn your spot to stay in as well. I think that's really important too. So I think it has to be global in nature, and to me, we need to figure out a structure where all these other tours feed into that, so it gives people a chance to come up and play at the top level.
Your thoughts here, Doug. What is that saying right there?
Isn't that interesting that Rory is talking about a global golf tour? And when he was doing kind of the leader for the PGA Tour, who was his arch rival on the LIV Tour?
Phil Mickelson.
Or Greg Norman.
Or Greg Norman.
Running
yeah.
the tour, right?
Yeah.
Greg Norman years ago proposed the Global World Golf Tour.
Right.
So it's crazy how these things work out.
That's why it feels like he is leaning. And a lot of times we all know where there's smoke, yeah. there's generally fire. Okay. Yeah. And I have this feeling that John Rahm has gotten in his ear a little bit. And it's kind of like a fish. Whenever you see that bobber going up and down, just hang tight. You're fixing to hook him.
That's right.
And I believe that he is not far from being hooked. And $950 million, it's not like he needs it, okay? Yeah. But $950 million, that's $1 billion.
Yeah, no.
Okay? I mean.
He doesn't need it.
But he could use it.
Yeah.
That's right.
But, you know, ever since Seve, really, Randy, I was thinking, and Matt, you know, Seve came into the game in the late 70s and kind of changed the Ryder Cup scenario with it went from England to Europe. And since that point, Bernhard Langer, all these international players that we see at the Masters, at all the majors, and the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour now, it really is an international game. So what Rory says and what Greg Norman said makes a lot of sense. I mean, why not play a season in the nice season in Ireland and a little bit in the U.S., a little bit in Asia, a little bit in Australia? And South Africa, play around the world. Makes sense to me.
Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Rory's idea, your take on it too, Doug. It's LIV has changed everything. It's taken what was what we all knew and what we expected every season, the PGA Tour, and said, let's throw a wrench into this thing. Let's mess it all up to give you all kinds of different options. And then in 2 years, 3 years, we're going to come back and say, hey, we screwed it all up. Now let's really talk and make it the best that it can be. And maybe Rory's onto something there. If they can get out of their own way and put together some kind of a, to his point, a Champions League style best of the best series, that would be pretty interesting to see.
Look, the PGA Tour, I think, is doing so pretty well right now. Of course, with the changes they're about to make and the influx in money that's coming into them. But don't we as golfers, don't we want to see the very best of the very best? Do you miss Dustin Johnson?
I don't really miss Dustin Johnson, but he was one of the best of the best. You're
yeah.
right. But I was just going to say, like, I watched Rory a little bit last week when he was on television, and I'm just thinking, you know, is he about at the end of – how old is Rory now?
34, 35, yeah.
He hasn't done anything in a while. He's, you know, if I were him, I'd take the 950 and go for it. But I don't see Rory's game really coming back to where it used to be. It's kind of like some of the other guys, like Phil Mickelson, that went to the LIV Tour. I mean, these guys are at the end yeah. of their career. You hate to say that at 35 or whatever he is, but Rory hasn't hit the ball like he did when he was in his prime for a while. So,
yeah.
You know, it's to me, it's a matter of the young guys that are 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
And where are they going to go? Are they going to consider the PGA Tour, or is the LIV Tour going to outduel them? That's where the difference is going to be made.
Well, again, now with the LIV Tour, with it being team-oriented,
yep.
with it being a scramble and only playing 54 holes versus 72, there are only, and we know this on our mm-hmm. tour, that you can only get so many people on a golf course at one time,
yeah.
okay? And which would be at what point do you get the field so full of great golfers? What happens to those that are not as good whenever you sign them up? Do they fade away? Now that they fade away, where do they go? Because they're not coming back to the PGA Tour,
yeah,
right? So
I don't know. Great question. They probably made a pretty good living for 3 or 4 years on the LIV Tour, so.
Yeah,
they may just go to Florida somewhere.
Yeah, I think somebody asked. I'm forgetting who it was. One of the golfers in the LIV Tour said, "You know, do you miss playing the PGA?" And he said, "Well, the Mexican Open is. I think the purse is $8 million." He said, "My wife's purse was more than $8 million." So,
wow.
Yeah, I think money speaks loudly right now, yeah. especially for the LIV guys. But I agree with you, Doug. I think. It's almost like it's a you know mini senior tour for a lot of the golfers that went to LIV initially. I mean, they they were getting their money because they were pretty much done getting their money.
But it is changing.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you got John Rahm, you got Dustin.
Yep.
You know, guys like that that are coming over, and those guys are excuse me, are going to start recruiting the younger players. And so, you know, I want you to be on my team. So,
and by the way, just mentioned Rory McIlroy. I think he won the Genesis Open, Scottish Open, last year.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And I think he won a tournament in 2022 as well.
Right.
So he's still got it in him. I don't think there's any question about that. Real quick, let me give you the leaderboard as they are in Mexico. Hey, you know, we visit or talk with Robbie Shelton's uncle all the time. Robbie's right now a T9 at 6 under. So, hopefully, this will be his breakout year. You got four atop the leaderboard: Matt Wallace, Sammy, and help me with this because you do such a wonderful job with names. Vemelki, Valamaki.
Yes, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, that was it right there. Let's change, and we'll come back. We'll work on that, and then we'll
like
come
how
back.
You did
all right?
That.
All right, hey, just a reminder: Southern Fairways Golf Tour event happens Sunday, March the 10th at Craft Farms and Gulf Shores. Go to southernfairwaysgolf.com to register and to get more information. Next, former All-SEC center at the University of Alabama, Roger Schultz. He is up next. We're talking football. Don't go anywhere. And we welcome you back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Randy Bergen along with Matt Brand. We know him as The Voice, Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, and War Eagle TV's Doug Holton hanging out. Guys, today's show presented by McConnell Automotive, the number one GMC dealer in the state of Alabama. Be sure and visit them. They're in Mobile, east of I-65 on Dolphin, or you can check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Time to talk a little football. And, guys, we're going to talk with a guy that can talk football just about as good as anybody. Our good friend Roger Schultz, you hear him from time to time, about twice a week, on Mike Grace's The Press Box. Roger, how you doing, my man?
Man, I am doing great. But Mike Grace has kicked me off the press box this week because they're getting ready to talk basketball and baseball, and they say, I don't know anything about that. So I said, you know what? I agree with you. All I really care, I mean, I love the other sports, but I have more passion for college football. So.
Well, I know you do. And as a matter of fact,
I'm on hiatus until August.
We had Bart Heitch on with us in the Prep Sports Report, and I tell you what, that guy can talk some basketball. Probably the most knowledgeable basketball guy in the state of Alabama, no doubt about it. And fun to have him on, but fun to have you on. And we got a lot to get into. We got to cram it in to a short segment here. Of course, the big topic right now: Eli Gold being released as the voice of the Crimson Tide. Give me your thoughts on at what time, when do you give him another year? Do you say, hey, this is going to be it? Or do you do kind of like they did and said, we'll give you the spring game, but it's over after that?
Well, I mean, look, I love both places, right? I love the University of Alabama, and I love Eli Gold, and I think the world of Eli Gold, because, I mean, literally the first game he ever called as an Alabama broadcaster, I was in the game. So – me and him, we go way back doing a lot of things. Actually, he wrote a book. I'm in his book. But, you know, at some point in time, and I guess it's not a surprise to me, because the more surprise was that he got to do games last year. I was probably more surprised by that because I don't know. We're somewhere along the line, I had already kind of figured out that I think they were going to move on from him and go to Chris Stewart. And then kind of when he got healthy, he just kind of just announced it. Hey, I'm back, everybody. I'm going to be calling the season. And then, I mean, seriously, well, that kind of put Alabama in like, wait, we didn't have plans for you. So they kind of figured out an alternative way to do it. But at the end of the day, too, I still think you should probably have given him a farewell tour.
Sure.
Somewhere along the line, I just think that's fair. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent, or if they've had things and they moved on. And obviously, Eli, you know, they offered him a lot of stuff, and he just kind of turned it down. And he goes, oh, I am not retiring. And maybe a little bullheaded a little bit, a little ego hurt a little bit, which, I mean, you know, that's how I felt Friday when Mike Grace told me I had to wait till football season.
I get that. We're visiting with – yeah, hey, trust me, I understand. I got the same hiatus whenever we – when it went to the 68 Ventures Bowl. Randy, you're no longer – doing this anyway.
Hey, I get you, man. If you do radio long enough, you go on hiatus a bunch.
There's absolutely no doubt, no doubt. Visitor Roger Schultz right here on Southern Fairway Sports Radio. And Wargle TV's Doug Holton, a guy that you know very well,
Howdy,
Douglas.
Doug.
Roger, how are you?
Man, I am outstanding. Believe it or not, Doug Holton used to live in this apartment building where my girlfriend lived when I was in college. That's how I first met him.
Yeah, Randy asked me, had I ever interviewed you? And I said, well, only every week. That, you know, back in the days when Roger was playing, we would do a story on Alabama football nearly every day. And, you know, when it was slow, we'd think, what should we do today? And we say, let's go get Roger Schultz. He'll have some kind of story for us, right?
Yeah. Hey, man, I was ready and I was prepared. Absolutely. I always enjoyed it. You know, I never forget when I was a freshman and I'd be walking past. So, you know, they used to interview you at Bryant Hall. That was one of the, you know, at lunch. And I can remember kind of walking by going, God, hey, I wish those guys would ask me a question. You know, when I was a freshman and redshirt, nobody ever talked to me. And then finally they start talking to me and I never stopped. You know, I just kept going, hey, I'm ready.
Let me ask you this, Roger. Did you always have the Fu Manchu?
Pretty much. I had the Fu Manchu the whole time I was in college.
Not when he was 12, but after that.
Yeah, 12. Hey, not very good for my dating, but, yeah, I pretty much had it the whole time.
So. Wow. All right, hey, let's talk a little football. Of course, Coach DeBorg is now in after Coach Saban has retired. What are your thoughts? I mean, this is, you know, do you want to be that guy that steps in after the GOAT? And, listen, I got to think this DeBorg is probably the best fit for this right now. What's your thoughts?
I think so. I think they did a good job. I mean, here's the guy that, I mean, he did play in the national championship game. There's a handful of coaches that have played in the national championship game, right? He's one of them.
Right.
We weren't going to get Harbaugh. I don't think we want Urban Meyer. So, Dabo wasn't coming. I mean, once, you know, Jimmy Sexton hired a bunch of students to run down Alabama's campus and yell, Dabo's up, Dabo's up. So I think that was pretty much the same. Yeah, you know, because, you know, Jimmy Sexton doesn't represent Dabo. But so, no, I think Kalen DeBoer's a great choice. I was really excited, obviously, about Grubb coming as the offensive coordinator because I know Saban wanted him a year ago. I really like the offensive line coach coming. I thought they, you know, they won the Joe Moore Award last year, so I was excited about that. But, you know, those guys go back to Seattle, but it looks like, you know, he's hot. You know, Nick Sheridan was the guy that kind of called plays before, and Jamarcus Shepherd, who's a young and rising coach, doing really good. He's called plays before, so they all kind of got experience. And from what I hear from the people that I know in college football, they feel like the staff is better than the staff they had last year. So that's saying something. So,
yeah, no doubt. We're visiting with Roger Schultz, former center for the University of Alabama, all SEC. And let me ask you this, Roger. Now, kind of when you were playing back in 1986, you Ray Perkins was the coach. Of course, Ray coached right after Coach Bryant retired. So you kind of got that same scenario going on right now. How was it for the player during this transition?
Well, it was interesting. I had two transitions. I had the transition from Ray Perkins to Bill Curry, and then I had the transition from Bill Curry to Coach Stallings. So I played with Coach Stallings' first year was my senior year, and I was a redshirt freshman with Coach Perkins. So I actually saw it from two different sides. I saw it from a young guy that had just been on campus for 3 or 4 months before Coach Perkins left, and then when you're an established player, you know, a three-year starter, you got to change. So I saw it from both angles, and it was different. I mean, we had three offensive coordinators, four offensive line coaches the whole time I was at Alabama. So, I mean, kind of used to change and adapt to change, but – like you said, this is a little different because obviously what Saban has did for the program and, you know, coming in there. And I'm sure it's not going to be an easy task. And I'm sure, Taylor, you know, because everybody I talk to that's an Alabama fan is like, well, man, if he loses the first two games, we're going to run him out on a rail. I go, well, let's not run him out on a rail. that's how they think. You know, they think, let's just get rid of the guy. So we'll give him a chance. One, he's got, first of all, he inherits a pretty great – I know we had a lot of guys leave for the transfer portal. I hate to see – Caleb Downs leave. I hate to see Proctor, the offensive tackle, leave. But, you know, some of the guys. But Alabama's done a good job in the portal. And first of all, I think 24/7, you know, they've ranked the rosters, like what's the quality. And Alabama still has, like, the number one ranked, whatever goes into that number that makes that number up, Alabama's still number one as far as overall roster. It's a pretty good roster. And you get Kalen Gore's a pretty good coach with these other coaches. I think it's going to be – I think Alabama may surprise some people next year.
Well, I'm certainly hoping so.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Not a bad way.
Let's hope so. Roll Tide, Doug.
Roger, yeah. I was just thinking about the way the game has changed with you and Randy talking about old times. What was your size and your playing weight when you were at Alabama, when we were at Alabama?
Well, I always said I was 6'2", and I'm not going to back down from that. and I'll fight you for it, even though
they had to stretch out the measuring stick, though, right?
I mean, they basically go, how tall are you? I go, 6'2". You know, it's like, I should have said 6'3". I don't know why I didn't, but I felt like there was a...
Yeah.
But I was about 263 at my heaviest. I mean, that was the most... 263 was about the most I ever played. I mean, I didn't get much heavier than that now.
Yeah.
So I was literally linebackers are bigger than me. I mean...
Yeah.
I remember, you know, those Dante Hightower was huge compared to me.
I was just going to say, that was an amazing accomplishment, I think, what you did at Alabama. Like you said, going through the coaching staff changes and playing at your playing size, and it was a different game then, but being an all-SEC center at Alabama and what you did at Alabama, I think I'm not sure anybody could do that today.
I think it would be difficult, for sure. I mean, you know, I have a son, right, who's playing. He signed at Troy, now he's at a JUCO, but I mean, he's 6'3 and a half, 310 pounds, and he's considered small.
Wow.
And I tried to help my team pull. My wife is 5'11 with long legs. I mean, I did the best I could. The kid came out looking just like me. So.
Oh my goodness. Hey, Roger, we've only got about a minute left here. It was good to see you over at Boom's Thai Kitchen, and you got to get back over there, my friend.
Man, let me tell you, outstanding. Look, I am a Thai food connoisseur. I feel like I'm an expert in the field, and I know good Thai food, and it's the best. I love it. And I enjoyed it. I got to get back over there, so I haven't been over in a while. When it warms up,
well,
I have to eat outside, so I have to, you know.
That endorsement right there just earned you another sticky rice with mango.
Well, Randy, right? Do y'all still have food at Boom's after Roger ate there?
Well, we did have to go back. We had to reorder.
Restock.
We did. But, hey, Roger, you got to jump back on with us real soon, and I always appreciate you taking time to be with us, my friend.
Thanks, Randy. Hey, good hearing from you, Doug. Y'all know I stay here and reach out anytime.
All right, buddy. All right, Roger Schultz right there, former all-SEC center for the University of Alabama, number 66. You remember him as Mr. Fu Manchu. And by the way, I was going through last night, and I just wanted to see how much the value of his card was.
Yeah.
$10. He's got $10.
Same as it was then, right?
This is all. Now, I think that's pretty good, because all these other ones I'm looking at were like 99 cents, $1.99, and his was $10. I'm like, dude, he's on the upper chain there. So.
Yeah. Interesting times. I got to Tuscaloosa in 89, right before the season started last year. Bill Curry and Roger was there, and as he mentioned, transitioned into Coach Dawlings. Really some fun years and had some great times there with those guys.
That was a big transition, I'm going to tell you.
It was the old brick through the window.
Wow. I tell you, good to have him on. Of course, you might remember him as in the finale of NBC's The Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
And I really thought he was going to win. Really thought. I think he probably thought he was going to win, but didn't. But
he just didn't want to be the biggest loser.
Well, that's well, I mean, because, you know, you're here at Alabama, you're always a winner. And that's Coach Bryant. You're a winner. You're going to be a winner.
Right.
You're going to be a winner.
And Coach Dawlings, you say, fun's in the winning.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we are going to take a quick timeout. And when we come back, let's get into What's for Lunch. I got a bit for you. How about Robin Williams? Have you ever heard his little golf bit? I've cleaned it up a little bit. You won't want to miss it. It's a new game that he came up with. It's called golf. You won't want to miss it coming up next.
Here's my idea for a sport. I knock a ball into a gopher hole.
Oh, you mean like pool?
No, forget pool. Not with a straight stick. A little broken stick. I whack a ball into a gopher hole.
Oh, you mean like croquet?
No, not croquet. That's a pretty sport.
I put the hole hundreds of yards away. Oh, kind of like a bowling alley.
Oh, no way.
Away. I put stuff in the way like trees and bushes. So you whack the ball, and you're sitting there whacking away, and you feel like you're going to have a stroke. That's what we'll call it, because every time you hit the ball, you think you're going to die. And right near the end, they'll put a nice flat bit with a tiny flag to give you hope. And they'll put a pool and a sandbox to grab your ball. You do this one time. Oh, no, 18 times.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, that dude, he was a riot.
Some people go out for 27 even.
Some even do 36 in one day. Can you imagine that? Funny, funny stuff. Hey, welcome back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Glad to have you here with us on a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Big weekend in SEC basketball. And we're going to go through that schedule with you in just a second. But let me go ahead and give you the standings. Of course, Alabama right now leading the SEC with an 11-2 record. Tennessee follows them at 10-3. There's your Auburn Tigers. They're tied with the Gamecocks of South Carolina at 9-4. Then the Florida Gators tied with Kentucky, Mississippi State at 7-6. The Tigers of LSU and the Ole Miss Rebels, along with Texas A&M, those guys at 6-7. The Georgia Bulldogs with a 5-8 record. Arkansas 4-9. Vanderbilt comes in at 2-11, and bless their heart, the Tigers of Missouri 0-13.
The eggshell.
Yeah. the big eggshell, no doubt about it. All right, today's schedule will look like this. Coming up at 11 o'clock on ESPN2, Missouri will be in Fayetteville to take on the Razorbacks of Arkansas. At 12 o'clock on the SEC Network, Florida will host Vanderbilt. Then at 2:30 on that same SEC Network, you'll see South Carolina travel to Ole Miss. At 3 o'clock on CBS, a big game right here. Number 13, Alabama, will take on number 17, Kentucky.
That is a huge game. Of course, last weekend, Kentucky comes into Auburn in the jungle and beats the Tigers of Bruce Pearl. Then they go to LSU during the week this week, and they lose at a buzzer beater to the LSU Tigers, and now up against Alabama this weekend. So we'll see what happens in that one. That'll be the biggest game in the SEC and Auburn, Georgia today.
No doubt. I got to tell you, that Alabama-Florida game goes into overtime. Boy, that was an interesting ball game in Tuscaloosa. Alabama comes out with a win there. Auburn, ranked number 14, they travel to Athens to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. That will be at 5 o'clock on the SEC Network. At 7 o'clock this evening on ESPN, number 5 Tennessee will host the Aggies of Texas A&M. And then at 7:30 on the SEC Network, Mississippi State will travel to Baton Rouge. You can do that better than me.
Baton Rouge.
There you go, and take on the Tigers of LSU. So good stuff right there. And if you're a basketball fan, we're getting into the meat of it. Getting into the meat of it, getting ready for that March Madness. And that's when you really begin to start watching it for most people, because you got to start being hot at the end of February, 1st of March.
I tell you what, I love this time of year for college basketball. And I don't watch much NBA, but the college game still has that power, that excitement, that enthusiasm, the adrenaline's flowing. You know, I got to watch a rare occasion. I got to watch the entire Alabama and Florida game last week, and going in an overtime, high-scoring game, man, the enthusiasm of the players, the coaches, the fans, you just can't get that anywhere else. But now, nearing the end of conference play, nearing the beginning of the March Madness, with Alabama and Tennessee one game away from being tops in the SEC, man, every point matters right now. And and you can tell. The fans are excited. The players are pumped up. And it's a fun time in college basketball.
It is, and for those interested in Auburn and Georgia, we had a chance to chat with former Tiger Zepp Jasper this week on WarEagleTV.com. Check out our Twitter page, YouTube page, or Rumble page, and you can see our interview there. But it's going to be a big game for the Tigers today going to Georgia. They had an off midweek, so we'll see how they respond after Kentucky. And with the loss of Jalen Williams, which is a big loss for the Auburn Tigers. And then Auburn has Tennessee in the middle of next week, so it's a busy time for Bruce Pearl.
You know, one thing about basketball, different from football, is you don't want to lose a game. But if you lose one game, it's not the end of the season, unless you're Missouri. That's not one ball game. But, I mean, you know, you do have a little buffer zone in there, and it'll be interesting to see how the Tigers do rebound after that loss. And how does Bruce Pearl, how does he handle that?
Yeah, and Zepp talked about that. We asked him a little bit about that because of some of the noise that Auburn's hearing now, and he talked about how to tune out the noise, tune out social media, and just, you know, come together, the guys in the locker room, and how you move forward and do what you're supposed to do and win a ball game.
Well, it'll be interesting, and we'll certainly keep our eyes on that for sure. Let me just mention, we were talking a little golf earlier. Of course, the Mexican Open going on right now at Vedanta?
Yes.
And Robbie Shelton, as we mentioned, right now at 6 under, he's a T9. He tees off in just about – oh, in about 6 minutes or so at 11 o'clock. Our buddy Brent Snedeker out on the tour had a tough run at it. 75-75, comes into +8, does not make the cut. So we'll certainly be rooting for him. The ladies, they are in Thailand for the Honda LPGA, and Patty, she happens to be leading that from Thailand. And yes. Doug, the last name?
Yes.
Can you say
it? Tell me, Randy.
We'll just say T.
I don't know which Patty you're talking
about.
Patty T.
Patty T.
I like her game.
1,600. She got a 3-stroke lead. So she's a good golfer. There's no doubt.
Outstanding. There's a lot of great players on the LPGA, too, especially over there in where they're playing this
week. Thailand?
Yes.
I started to have Boom come on and give that leaderboard update for you. Because she certainly could have pronounced these names. Okay. Matt,
I forgot
what you got?
To be honest, tell it to me.
Tavatanikit.
Yes.
Tavatanikit.
Yes.
We could get my GM Opal on for us too. He could.
That's right. He's from Thailand,
that's right.
Also.
Yeah, he is. He could definitely do that for these names. I can't.
You know, I remember her playing a year or two ago, and she won a major on the LPGA Tour, and I thought at the time, my goodness, she's going to destroy everybody, but. She's kind of come back to the field a little bit. Still a great player.
No, she is.
There's so many great players out there.
You know, you got to go all the way down to a T16 to see the first American, Lily Vu.
Is that right?
Right now,
wow.
Yeah, at -9. Lily, there's a host of them.
Vu?
Vu.
Uh-huh.
V-U. Vu.
Okay. And she's American?
She's American.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Hey, real quick. We've got about 2 minutes here. Matt, maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah.
What is for lunch today at Boudreaux's Cajun Grill?
I'll tell you what, come on in at 3 o'clock. We'll get you started. We're going to take you outside, let you view that beautiful Mobile Bay, looking out towards the west, towards downtown Mobile. And we're going to set you up. We're going to go with a little pasta this afternoon. We're going to go with that Mardi Gras pasta. You know, Mardi Gras season's over now, but you can still have a bit of Mardi Gras at Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. Angel hair pasta, Cajun cream sauce, our sautéed shrimp, fresh vegetables, mushrooms, artichoke hearts. I mean, that right there is going to get you set up for a great afternoon, great evening. Throw in some nice. New Orleans-style Gambino's French bread with that. Sop up all the leftover sauce in there. And then sit back, sip on a bourbon berry smash.
Oh, my gosh.
A little bourbon drink, fresh blackberries muddled with some basil leaves. And then we're going to throw on some Basil Hayden's bourbon, put that over ice. Throw a fresh basil leaf on there for you to sip on and enjoy the view.
Night, night.
There you go. Wow. Enjoy the view of Mobile Bay. And have a little fun with your servers, too. Talk about the area. Talk about what you did for Mardi Gras. And talk about what you're going to do for the spring, because right now it feels like spring at Boudreaux.
Yeah. How late are y'all open today?
Till 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. So when it gets dark outside, you kind of turn on the lights outside, too, right?
Turn the lights on outside. Yeah. And you know what? If it gets a little bit chilly, we'll turn those heaters on, too. We've got those motorized screens that they stay up when it's nice and sunny and comfortable. They come down when it gets a little chilly or buggy out. So we've got something for every type of weather out there on the deck. And we were completely full last night outside. Had a couple tables we were rotating inside, but I'll tell you what, come on out. The waits have been about 15, 20 minutes, and we'll get you in.
First come, first serve.
First come, first serve. We can take parties up to 20. May take a little more time to get that in, but just come on out, and we'll get you situated. If you have to wait for a table a little bit, we've got some couches out there by our fire pits. You can have a drink or an appetizer while you wait, and have a good old time, make an evening of it.
Got to tell you, too, now, let me ask you this first. Can you get blackened alligator in that with the angel hair?
Yes, you can. Actually, you can sub out any kind of protein you want for it. You want chicken instead of the crawfish tails, blackened alligator, you want steak. We can make those subs. We make everything from scratch. So everything's made to order, and that makes it something unique to the area. We are the only Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. No other Boudreaux's Cajun Grill exists like this one.
And there's
no doubt.
Where do you get your alligator from?
That comes from Mississippi.
Does it?
Yep,
okay.
It sure does. We get a crawfish tails from Louisiana. Our gator from Mississippi, and it's the good.
I didn't know if you pulled him out of the bay there.
No, I thought about it.
Let me just mention: do not shy away if you've had alligator and it's been rubbery in the past. This is like filet mignon. You can cut it with a fork. I'm
really
telling
good.
You, it is the way y'all do it is stupid good. I mean, it is fantastic. Got to check out blackened alligator. Of course, you got an appetizer on that as well. All right, this hour is coming going. Told you it's the fastest hour on radio. Well, it is, and we are about to end it. Matt, as always, great to see you.
Absolutely.
And glad you're here with us. Maybe next week we can go to hang out on the back there.
Sounds good. We'd like to make that happen.
Or maybe tonight.
There you go. Doug, thanks for being here as well.
Always fun. War Eagle Randy.
I did not hit.
I threw him off.
Yeah, because I didn't get to your button quick enough. Your Mark Laster button. All right, that's going to wrap it up for our producer, Steve Stanley, for the whole staff here at Southern Fairway Sports Radio. I am Randy Berger. Let's hit a knee, say a prayer. God bless America. Boy, we need it. All right, see you later.